Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another show at your place. This message came from a live church service from the sanctuary of Nolensville. While Bill was a guest speaker at this service, and I really think he did a wonderful job, I'm not prejudiced, but he said that God gave him a fantastic message, but that he did not feel that he did a very good job in presenting it. But I think that's what he says every time. But I am prejudiced, and I think it was wonderful. We open up the microphones at the end of each show where you can make a comment or ask a question. All you have to do is push one on your phone, and you'll be identified by the last four digits of your phone number when we place you on the air. So without further ado, let's have a listen to Wild Bill.
One of these days, I'm going to be able to get my notes organized on a small little post-it pad like Pastor does, but as it is right now, I only have about 18 pages, so it shouldn't take us too long to go through it. We might be out of here by dinner tonight. No, I'm playing. I do want to give honor to our pastor and to the ministry that's here. I want to acknowledge that the city of Nolensville and the people in the county, our leaders, they have found out the hard way that you cannot run off one of these Pentecostal preachers once they come in, that they're here. They're going to stand. They're going to stand true to God's word. They're going to present it. They're going to preach it. They're going to live it. They're going to be a light shining out to a dark world. And I'm thankful that we have the pastor we have. I want to tell you that for you that are coming in, you are in for such a treat in coming in here. Not because of my speaking. I'll tell you what, Pastor and Brother Matt, they blow me away in what they can do as far as preaching. And I really enjoy, you know, hearing both of them share God's word. But having come from another church and came here, I can tell you that there's something that God does in your spirit when he speaks to you about going someplace else. And it's all kind of an unrest feeling inside until you actually make the change and you're here. And then all of a sudden you're going to find that pastor's going to plug you in. He's going to find what talents that God has for you to use, and he's going to put those things in place. He's going to let you hit the ground running. And you're going to find that you're going to grow in God in such a capacity that's going to blow your mind. I'm saying this from experience. I've been in church for a long time, long enough to know better than some of the things that I say and do sometimes. But my wife has then figured out that there's no way to put a muzzle on me. I am who I am, and it's just how it's going to work out. But and my wife tells me all the time that I have a tendency to never finish a thought, but I say a lot of things. So I'm hoping with the notes that I have here that I can sort of stay on track and bring you the thought that God's been having on my heart. As a pastor said, when he came to me, God had already been putting a thought in my heart and in my mind. And I hadn't taken the time to put it into format yet, but I tell you what, I want to thank Pastor for this fast that we just went through. I don't like to fast. I want to thank him for encouraging us to join together and pray, because I'm telling you that there's some things that I learned in that process that I should have already known. And I found that sometimes we get a tendency to forget the things that we're supposed to remember. Right. Not because I'm addled, which I am that at times, but it's because of getting busy and doing the things that have to do with life that we have a tendency sometimes to get caught up in the business of living for God, the business of doing whatever task it is that we're called to do, the business of taking care of our families and just living life. It's one of those things that's just real easy to get caught up into. And what I found during this time that I had a whole lot of time, Pastor, on my face in those motel rooms, crying before God as he showed me things in my life, that he loved me enough he wanted me to change, as he showed me that there is an accountability in living for God. That it's not just Johnny come late, come sit on a pew, listen to the pastor preach, to sit here and go through God's word for Sunday school class, to try to come up with something interesting or something fun or those things that, you know, where you feel like people would want to hear. There's a lot more to this living for God. And what I also found in this, which I did what Pastor does sometimes, and you have to forgive me for copying you, Pastor, but I sort of have a double title for my message today. The one title I have is, I ask you the question, do you know what a winner is? Because what I found was that I thought I knew what a winner was, but I had sort of missed the big picture along the way. And the other one is, We need to remember not to forget. There are things that are important to our salvation. There's things that's important to this community here. There's things that are important to our brothers and sisters. We sit there and we think sometimes, well, it's me, what am I going to do on this? I got to do this, I got to do that. And we have a tendency sometimes, I'm speaking about myself, and I want to say this from the get-go. If I ever say anything from this pulpit that you have any question about, go to Pastor. Now, if you don't know who that is, that's the guy sitting over there staring at me very intently, ready to pounce if I say something that I shouldn't say. So that's the one that you go to on this. But it's real important to understand that when you present something from God's Word, and we saw this in Sunday School class, we have different interpretations of things sometimes. That's why it's so important for each of us to study God's Word and to remember that it's so important to remember those things that are in God's Word. Because even as you have a pastor that's here before you that you can go to, you know what I found? Sometimes I go to him because there's something that just I can't get an answer to. And you know what he tells me? I know, but I can't tell you right now. Now, I don't know about you, but that is so frustrating for me. I'm like, why in the world could he know the answer to my problem or my question or whatever it is that's going on? It's just driving me up the wall and not tell me. Well, this last week, I remembered the story about the little chicks. Scientists and farmers got together several years ago and they tried to come up with a way to help baby chicks hatch out of their eggs to be quicker, to get them in the process of feeding them, giving them the nutrients, make them big so they can kill them and sell chicken to everybody, which if it goes to Popeyes, that's a good thing. But, which I'm not going to tell you what Pastor said to me about my fast, but he said that there were several thousand chickens that were saved during that 10 days of fasting. And that, you know, we should remember them. But thank you, Pastor. But when he does that, I realized that with those baby chickens, what they found was is every one of them that they helped hatch out of their eggs, you know what happened? 100% of them died. All of them, they died. Because there's something in the process of taking their little beaks and pecking a little hole in there and working their way around and getting their legs through and coming out of that egg that's a necessary process to help them gain the strength they need to survive. And so I understand that when Pastor doesn't give me an answer, it's because he knows I need to go through some process. Now, am I happy about going through process? Let's just say that there's been many a night that I've thought about sneaking over there in a dream that I've had and taking a waterboard to get the answer to what it is I want to know. But I know that that wouldn't work, but I've thought about it anyway. What was that, Pastor?
I said, let's make sure we're setting the alarm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, only I and Brother Matt could come up with something like that. But anyway, the thing about this message is that it's been one of those things where I've had times going down the road where I have just shouted for victory. As God would present things to my mind and to my heart and get me to remember things that I'd forgot, all of a sudden something got to churning inside of me. And I was sitting here during this song service and I got to noticing some of the people with emotion, some of the people that were reacting to what was here. And you know, we're supposed to be an apostolic in doctrine, Pentecostal in action in the way we worship church. What that means is that we have freedom, as we were singing today. You know, this sermon has been one of these things. And I'm so scattered here, you have to forgive me just a minute, but it's been one of those things that it was there, and then it wasn't, and it was there, and it wasn't. God was testing my waters a little bit. Some of this message has some real meat in it, so I hope everyone brought their teeth today so you don't get choked, but I'm telling you there's some things here that we don't like to chew up and swallow sometimes. But with that said, I want to say again, I don't ever target anybody. If anybody's being targeted, it's me. Now, I talk to Pastor all the time when he says things about, you know, I say, you know, every time he says something about fat people, I know he's talking about me. And I go to him and I ask him about it. What he told me is only 75% of the time is he talking about me. The other 25% he's not. So I understand now that I sort of am okay on that. But I want to promise you here that I'm not targeting anybody. And I want us to have some fun here. But I want us to realize that God is in this house. He let us know where any two or three come together worshiping him, praising anything in his name, he's in the presence. He's here. He's there. And when we think about God's presence, What value does that have to us? I've mentioned this before in Sunday school class. If the President of the United States came in this room, every one of us would be up on our feet. Every one of us. If we did, guess what? Secret Service would make us get up. They would demand we give respect to that office. Not the man, but the office. And here we have the Almighty God. He's granted us freedom, which was said so well, sister, that we can come into this house with no fear of the police kicking down the door and hauling us off in handcuffs and beating us and throwing us off in a jail cell somewhere. But sometimes I look and it's like we're glued to our pew. And I thought, man, why is that that we are that way? And the reason is because it's choice. Whether we want to admit it or not, the whole thing is it's our choice. God's given us free will. He's not going to make us praise and worship Him. He's not going to be like the President with the Secret Service going to make us stand up and give Him a hand clap and acknowledge He's here. That's not the way it's going to work. He'll come in, and for those that respond and worship Him, He's going to make a habitation inside of each of us. A habitation. He's going to live there. So guess what happens to your problems when God's there? Yeah, they become small really quick, don't they? When that sovereign God comes into the picture, the one with all strength, all power, all knowing, the one who has the answers to all these things that has to do with my life. He promised me that He's going to do all things for my good.
Right.
And you measure that up to a problem, you're like, wow, I don't have any problems.
Right.
You know, I get upset sometimes because I sweat quite a bit, and I get upset because I ain't got no hair on top of my head. And as Pastor said, I didn't get my wish for New Year's and Christmas that I got to be 25 years younger. It just didn't happen. Now, inside, I think God did that. So you guys are sort of in trouble today because I'm a little bit excited. And I'm hoping that there's an anointing that comes to this that you can feel in this service today. When I talk about this being an apostolic Pentecostal church, I was thinking this morning, and by the way, Sister Dacia, this is... God wanted to do something in this service today, and it don't matter how bad I mess up, it don't matter how off I got on the drums, God's going to have His way in this service this day. He's going to touch our lives today, and He's going to make things different in a way that we is going to blow our mind. I feel it with everything within me that God is here to do something this day in this place for each and every person here. It's not by chance that we were here. It's not by chance that God asked the pastor to help me come up here and muddle through these notes. But as I was getting ready, boy, I was so cocky and happy, and I got on the road and I was going to finish my notes, and I brought half of the cord to my computer.
No.
So I couldn't type up my notes. So I was writing them down on paper, and I really like cut and paste and delete and all those things, and I really like big fonts because I'm getting to where I have trouble reading things. But in that whole process, I thought, okay, I'm going to write this down. I'm going to... God bless me. This last week, I worked nights and sleep days. My work, let me tell you something, my work meant something for my badge. They kept me out last weekend, so I had to leave from Alabama, come straight home, take a shower, get dressed, and come to church. Been up all night long driving. God blessed it this next week that on Tuesday, I ran out of hours. So I got to stop early after only driving about 200 and something miles, and they had to pay me for 8 hours of work at Union Scale. Pretty good. So will they get me up at what time? It's daytime. I get to go to work in the daytime. I didn't know what that big bright thing was in the sky. God was just blessing me. I'm driving. I get to see people, and I can wave, and they can see me shouting and tears running down my face as I'm going down the road. And I'm like, man, I'm a people. I'm out in the daytime. I'm not a vampire after all. But my God loved me enough that He let this come about. Now, this message, as I was putting it together, it's got some things in there that was kind of hard for me to swallow for myself, and I hope it's not the same for you. But as I was going through this process, I thought, you know, this is wrong. This is pastor material. I need to be very careful with this. I need to stay away from it. Lord, I don't understand why You're giving me this. I realized in Sunday school we had talked about some of this before, and Pastor says, okay, as long as I kept it scriptural, because anything it has to do was set up in this church as far as structure for individuals, it comes from pastor, always. It'll never come from anybody else. If somebody else tries to put that on you, they're in error. It's always going to come from pastor. But with that being said, I was sitting there going through this process, and I'm like, okay, I got to, because I was working days, when I got to go home Friday, it was Friday afternoon. It was actually, Charlotte and I got to go out and eat together on a Friday night. Can't remember the last time that happened. Man, I felt so blessed, so excited. Didn't get down there and do much with the computer. I thought, I'll wait till Saturday. I've got plenty of time. I've got all my notes here. It's going to be good. I already know how this is going to play out. Well, got down Saturday night. Started putting it all together. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of getting ready to print, all of a sudden this little pinwheel came up in the middle of my computer. And it says, updating and shutting down. And I thought, I haven't saved any of this. None of it. So, I'm just in there staring at this. I'm like, Lord, are you trying to show me something here? And it's almost like I could hear him smile and as he's looking down at me and like, yeah, I'm trying to show you something here. And I'm like, Lord, well, I'm really not catching this right now. I'm going to be honest with you. This is 2:00 in the morning, and, I'm actually going to get to sleep at home in my bed tonight. I really don't understand. And you can ask Starla, I never made it to bed. I was up all night going through this and trying to get it all nailed back down as to what I was supposed to bring. Now, some of you probably noticed that I haven't come to a scripture yet. And pastor's probably sitting here saying, I hope he preaches God's word here just a little bit on this. But I want to get to one other point before I get there, and y'all forgive me. Have you ever heard a preacher or a church teacher or a pastor that talks about how easy it is to backslide from behind this pulpit? I've heard that all my life, and I thought, that makes no sense. They're up there, they're preaching God's word, they're on fire, they got anointing in their life, they're doing all these things. I'm like, I really can't understand what's going on here. And this is part of this process of what God's been doing with me this week. He let me realize, and I got this weird car. I don't know if you noticed it, but I don't have a key. I got this little fob thing, and there's no place to put it in or nothing. I could forget and leave it in a cup holder. Matter of fact, I can't tell you how many times I went home and I left that car running, not knowing it's running. You push the button, you hear nothing, not a sound. A little electric motor starts up, and a little green light says, ready to drive. So you put it in reverse, and you take off, and it watches behind you, make sure you don't run anything. It beeps if you get close, and you're going down the road. And then when you put a certain demand on it, guess what happens? Gasoline motor comes in. Well, what I found is during that process, many times I don't notice when the change takes place. Never have. And what I realized is what God was wanting me to understand about this here, something that was going on in my life. Because, see, we get to starting out real spiritual when we're living for God. When we make that first commitment to live for Him, we're spiritual, man. We're wanting to find out what God wants. We're listening to every word pastor says. We're sitting there, we're wanting to engage. We're going to worship God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. We're looking for anything we can to fill in, to do. And you know what happens along the way? Sometimes you don't realize that you made a turn and you left God at that intersection because He didn't want you to turn that way. You're supposed to go another way. But you don't have any realization to do that. And you're still praising God, you're worshiping God, and you're doing the things, you're trying to fill in the gap, and you don't realize that you've run off and left God. You've left Him back there. And what I found is that in living God over a period of time, that we develop spiritual habits. We still say the right things. We still do the right things. We still have the same attitude. You would never know until all of a sudden, under my own power, I run into something that I can't overcome. You can't. And then all of a sudden you realize, God, where are you at? And He's like, if I seem far away, who moved? Wasn't me. I was there with you. I was faithful. I was helping you along your path. I was supplying what you needed to make it through your path, to do what it was I was asking you to do. And you left me back at that intersection, and I never had a clue. Never had a clue. And so what happens? This Holy Ghost that we have, my wife says I'm full of this, and y'all thank God for the Holy Ghost. But I don't think that's exactly what she means. But I'm telling you today that what happens with the Holy Ghost is it's one of those things that it's there's no limit to how much God will pour inside of you.
Right.
He has no limitation of power that He wants to put into our life. But I've learned something, Pastor. If I don't plug into that source, it's like a fuel gauge. It's like a battery on that car. It gets to draining. It gets to running down. All of a sudden, I'm making decisions I think are spiritual that are carnal, that are flesh. because I've not replenished my power supply from the Almighty God that's there without limit for me to have anytime I want it. It's there for the asking. And so what I learned in this whole process is that there's a lot of ways that we can move out of position from the things of God. And it really troubled me when I realized how easy it is to make that one turn, just one simple turn, didn't say I sinned, didn't say I did anything wrong. But when you have to understand that when you disobey God, what is that? It's sin. When God says turn left and you turn right, that's sin. And guess what? There is no sin going to enter into heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I really love all you people. I really do. I appreciate each and every one of you. But I would really enjoy being a holy roller on Sunday mornings, and when that alarm clock goes off, rolling over and going back to sleep. Mm-hmm. I could do that. Those times that I hit Alabama in the mornings and had to rush right through to come to church, if it wasn't something that was life-changing to benefit me that was going on here for my life, I would not be here. This is more than just visitating with it. I'll make up my own words, visitating. I don't think that's in the dictionary. We don't just come here to socialize. We don't just come here to be entertained by the music that's here. We have a talent in our singers up here. I mean, we have a real talent. And it would be easy just to sit back and watch them worship God. But is that what we're called to do? So why do we do it? One question before I get to my scripture. Pastor says he ain't moved very many pages yet. I'm getting kind of worried. If the law came in here this morning and they said, we're going to arrest everyone in here that's of that apostolic doctrine, Pentecostal in worship, baptized in Jesus' name bunch is here. And what we're going to do is we're going to look for the evidence of what we saw with you in this place this morning. We watched what you did. We had a hidden camera in here, and we saw what you've done through this service. Now, my question I want you to ask yourself is, could you be convicted? Is there enough evidence in the way you worshiped this morning that a law, court of law, would have evidence to convict us? Now, with that being said, and thinking about a court system, think about God looking down at each and every one of you. If you would, if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word. If we go to James 1, 1 through 8.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let the patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
And if we go to verse 12.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
And if we can drop down to 22 through 25.
But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But who looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed indeed.
Pastor, can I get you to pray over? Thank you, Pastor. You may be seated, everyone. Thank you for standing. As I mentioned before, Pastor is one of the best resources that we have to go for at a time we have questions. Please don't ever let it be that there is either something you misunderstand, there's a scripture or something that you're like, I don't really get what this is about, and you say, well, I just don't get it, and leave it alone. You don't ever ever need to do that. As good as a pastor is, you know what he's going to tell you, especially if he does that thing like he does with me, where he's like, I know the answer, but I'm not going to tell you right now. It's not the time. He's going to let you realize something through God's word. He's going to share with you that you are responsible to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I use that scripture a lot. Charlotte says sometimes it seems like I'm trying to be negative on this, but really when you think about God's love and his word, he's letting us know it's important for you to understand that you have an accountability. Pastor can't live it for you. The praise and worship leader can't live it for you. I can't live it for you, and you can't live it for me. We can be helps for each other. So it's real important that we remember a couple of things. You can ask a pastor, and that's good. And it's good here because you're going to a church that preaches truth. You're under a pastor who is someone that I have great confidence and faith in. But say you were in a church that didn't, and you just blindly follow that pastor. The Bible lets us know that if an angel from heaven comes and tells you any other doctrine, it tells you it's okay to do this or it's not okay to do that, you know, you need to do it this way, that we need to understand that if it doesn't line up with the word of God, that we need to be aware that we don't need to listen. So there's some preachers out there that's got some doctrine that's not really doctrine. It's a lie straight from hell that the devil wants to put out there so you can think you can have a form of God, but you don't really have the truth of who God is, and you're going through life and you're going through the motions and you think everything's going to be okay, and you find out it's not. You need to read God's word. You need to pray. You need to read God's word and pray about what you're reading. And the great thing about having the Holy Ghost inside of you is that is also a resource that we can go to, that it will lead and it will guide. God's given us what we need to be able to separate the things so that we're not just one of those people that's wayward. We're going back and forth. We don't really understand what God's law and what his word is all about. We sort of have an idea as to who God is, and we hear the way everybody says, and we quote all the scriptures just like everybody else. But as we were talking today, we don't have that relationship with God. Well, guess what? We're required to have a relationship with God. Without talking to him and asking him and listening, that's the key to prayer. It's one of those things that's not talked about very much. We all talk about all the scriptures about prayer. Pray for this, pray for that, pray for this. But we go through the thing where we don't listen for the reply. Sometimes it's that still, small voice who nudges me in the night and says, you need to pray. Your enemy is out there. And he wants to devour you. Your children that's not living for God, they're in danger. Now, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Fear is one of those things that's strictly of the mind. Danger is real. We need to understand the difference in the two and be concerned when there's danger about us. This city is under danger. There has not been a Bible church here teaching the truth of God's word, as far as I know, ever in the city of Nolensville. So this is a new thing that's going to be coming about there. But you know what? It's not new to God.
That's right.
It's just new to a church being here. Mm-hmm. And so when we realize that God wants us to go to his word, listen to what he has to say, follow after the Holy Ghost, to understand that we don't just listen to the pastor. And you know what? I promise you this. What the pastor says, what the word of God says, what the Spirit leads, what God speaks to your heart, every one of these is going to line up in order. None of them will be out of order. I promise you. If it's God's truth, it's going to line up. You may have some questions of understanding, and that's where you go back to your pastor and say, I don't understand this scripture right here. I haven't seen the light of who Jesus is yet. He's not shown me this yet. And he can pray for you that those things happen. Because God does have to show you. And it's one of those great things. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's like those little riddle things. There's a lot of scripture that refers to life as a race. Matter of fact, I think the last sermon I preached had to do with racing. But in looking at what is a hero, or what is a winner, man, getting off my track. The first thing that came to my mind was the great state of Alabama's football team. But Ohio kind of took the victory away from them. So if you don't win all the time, are you still a winner? You can look at movie stars and see the lifestyle that they live and the success they have and all the fame, you can think, are they a winner? You can take someone who has great wealth from something they've done in business, and you think, that person's a winner. It's all there. They got everything that I could want. All of us have certain things that we think about. We can break it down from a team concept to go to players, athletes. Man, that guy, he has speed, he has strength, he has agility. He is the person that's a winner. But there again, when you take it and you try to apply it to these things, you know what I found out? Teams lose. These athletes, when they started going to high school, they started lifting weights. Most of them start now in middle school. They're lifting weights. They're taking supplements. They're working out. They're dedicated to the cause. They understand that to become a winner costs you something. It's not free for anybody. It's something where you got to do the little things on a consistent basis to become a winner. And what I found in this process is that when those people do that, it seems great. They may make it to the pros, and I got this huge contract and all this money. And then you hear 10 years later that this guy has so many brain concussions when he was playing football that he's got brain damage, had a stroke and died, 40-something years old or 50-something years old. You look and you see that the skill positions, they don't last a long time in the NFL because of all the abuse they take. You can read books about some of these athletes and you find that they're addicted to pain medication because they can't even get up and down out of a chair or out of their bed because of all the abuse they've given their body. It don't just cost something to get there, but there's a cost on the other side when you try to take things that are physical and carnal and seek those things to make you a winner.
Yeah.
But what I found when I was looking through this and I was trying to find an example of a winner was, well, I'm going to use Pastor here for just a second. He has told us many times about how he used to wrestle and how that he would do this thing before he would have a match where he'd do this workout with somebody and he had a power move that he would do. Now, in those times that he was doing that, do you know why he did that? Because he was going to get into the mind of the other person. See, winning one of those things that we have to realize is something we need to do in the spiritual realm. To be a winner, we still got to do those little things on a consistent basis. We got to be accountable for those things to understand that there's another side of what it is. But unlike the things that are carnal, the other side of this, if you do it all, is eternity with Jesus. Woo! Eternity with Jesus. Do you hear? Eternity.
Come on.
This life is just a vapor, but eternity with the one who loved me so much that he robed himself in flesh, that he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, that he took on, as the Bible says, no, he did this in joy, but he hated the shame of what he had to go through, to where he had to sit on that cross, and as the sin of the world came on him, the man Jesus cried out to the Spirit of God who had to turn away from him and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was our sacrifice. The man flesh that was suffering was crying out to the God who could not look at sin, who couldn't handle the stench of the sin of this world. And Jesus bore it all with joy for us. Not just for us, but for me, for you. By name, he knew us all. He knows the hairs that fall from my head. So, if that was mine in the tape, brothers, God knows about it. When we look at these things, it's real easy to get emotional. But there's a whole lot more in doing the little things than just being emotional. You can get up here and you get all socked up. When he did his power move, I can just see it now. I don't know what it was that he did, but I can see something that happened. When he got ready to walk up on that mat, you know what? I bet he couldn't tell you what the other guy did to try to intimidate him. Do you know why? He didn't care. Do you know why? He came to win. Had no thought about the other guy. He already knew what he was going to do when he walked up on that mat. He knew every reaction to what he was going to do to go against what the other guy had. He had it planned out. When you look at boxers, I love this, how they do this. When they call them to the center of the ring, have you ever noticed that when they're telling them all the rules, you know, no pulling nose hair and no biting the ears, no talking about your mama, these guys are sitting there eyeball to eyeball, just staring at each other, moving back and forth, just staring. Looking right at them. You know why? because they came with the intent of winning. One of the things I love about competitive people, they don't play a game without the intent of trying to win. And I'm here to tell you that what we're living in the spiritual realm is not a game. It's a warfare. It's a very real warfare. Just like war in the world. It's cruel. It's unfair. It's going to be one of those things that's going to hit every weak point that you have if you don't do something to shore that up. It's going to come against you in ways that you never thought possible. And you're going to sit there and say, wow, I'm in a warfare. But then how many times do we not think of it as a warfare? Come to church. Man, I was blessed today. Woo! Songs were good. I felt the anointing of God. People were raising their hands and they were praising God. All is good. Man, woo, hallelujah. I'm excited. And then what happens? You go out the door, you walk home. Sitting there, you're driving home. Everything seems just hunky-dory. And then all of a sudden, I don't know about you, but if you've ever played football and somebody comes flying across the field that you have no clue is there and they hit you, there's nothing that hurts worse than anything at all. I've had them hit me so hard I was looking out through the ear hole when I hit the ground. No clue that this person's zoning in on me. And that's what the devil's going to do. He's going to let you think everything's okay. We can just go through the motions. We don't have to be serious about all this. We can just forget the little things. We don't have to be faithful. Don't have to. Have you heard the thing that your attitude determines your altitude? When it comes to fighting the battle, we need to have a mindset that we're here to win. We need to have a mindset that we're winners. But we can't do that if we don't realize that we're in a battle. If we don't take it serious, we can't do those things. When I was in law enforcement, I've shared this before with some of you, a police officer that shot has a minor injury. I can't tell you what the statistics are, but many of these policemen die. Because in their mind, we're the good guys. We're not supposed to get hurt. And so mentally, they give up. They lay there on the ground and let themselves bleed to death, but it could have been something that could have applied pressure and called for help and been okay. But you can take a bad guy who all he's thinking about is getting away. And so he knows he's a bad guy. He knows his chances of getting shot are good. And what happens? They have been shot in injuries that should have been critical to death and survived. That's the power that we have in our mind that God's granted us. But we go through the motions and we think, well, I don't really have to worry about that. I can just kind of do it my own way. I can, you know, go to church and I can listen. I can, you know, see what God has for me. But you know what? God wants us to understand that we have an accountability of things that we need to do. Got a question for you. When you first came to church and you turned your life over to God, how did you react to your first trial of persecution? I was shocked. My life was supposed to be better. I have repented of my sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, got the Holy Ghost. God's going to drive me like a car. He's just going to steer me around. I'm going to avoid all the obstacles, and everything's going to be this hunky-dory. And you know what happened? I was walking along, and I fell in a big old pit of a trap that Satan had set for me. And I'm like, whoa, something's wrong. This ain't the Holy Ghost I thought this was supposed to be. This is not what it's all about. I wasn't mentally prepared for warfare. I was feeling good. Life's good. God has saved me from my sins. Woo, hallelujah. But what I'm sitting there not realizing is that there's more accountability than just being saved. There's more to do than just that first step of being born again. You got to walk the walk. You got to talk the talk. We used to say something years ago that you had to walk right, spit right, and talk right. You couldn't just go along and go through the motions. There was some change that had to happen to our lives. We understood that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And you know what happens? You're going through a trial. You're going through these tribulations. What does Satan say?
You don't need to go to church today. So come Sunday, how much of the Word of God did you hear?
None. None. And then you're like, Pastor, I don't know why I'm going through all these trials. Going through our wife, you must be living wrong, Starla, because I know I'm doing everything right. What is going on here? We have a tendency to want to blame everybody else because we're not engaged in the warfare. We don't understand that when God says to not miss church, that it was for our good. Because we need that faith to endure. We need that faith to be an overcomer. Because we can't do these things in ourselves. When we understand that God has given everybody a measure of faith. But it's one thing to know about having a measure of faith, and it's another thing to apply a measure of faith. Big difference. You can know all the scriptures. We were talking about this in Sunday school. You can have it down pat. God's given me a measure of faith. If I got faith to see the size of a mustard seed, I can say unto a mountain, be thee cast into the sea. And it's going to be cast into the sea. Woo, don't that sound good? And then, Pastor, I got this awful headache. I need you to pray for me. And Pastor comes up and prays for you. And how many times, and I'll raise my hand, you don't, have I walked back to my seat not expecting something to change? Sit down with my wife and say, you got some extra strength, etc.? Not using my faith. I'm not standing upon that doctrine of what God's given me, the promise that He's given us. I got another scripture here I want to go to. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We were talking about this before. You got to have those spiritual habits. And going through this process, God started reminding me some things. When you get to thinking about faith, God lets us know that He would take us from faith to faith and to victory to victory. And I got to remembering some things. I remember how that I had a pastor or a friend of mine who came to our church. And his wife, they wanted children really bad. And the doctor said they couldn't have children. They were doing everything they could to comply with what the doctor said. They wanted children. And I remember a service where they came and hands and oil was applied in faith that they could have children. Look, they didn't just have one child. They got three. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need to worship God because of His marvelous acts. They could not have children. And God said, I heard your prayer. Prayer of faith was applied. You're going to have children. And guess what? You got children. Pastor had liver problems. We're not talking minor liver problems. His liver was failing. Failing. Young man, liver failing. I was screaming like a mashed cat. He goes to the church where he used to go. The pastor there called him up. They have prayer. The pastor's saying, I'm healed. Woo-hoo, I'm healed. He goes to the doctor. He gets a test to verify that he's been healed. And they don't, they told him,
Your liver is worse now than what it was before.
I would have collapsed in the floor. You would have had to carry me out of there on a stretcher. But you know what he said? God healed me. My body just don't know it yet. That's the kind of pastor we have here. We need to realize and count our blessings to understand the marvelous acts of what God's doing, besides the things that happen where we have this building right here and the instruments we have and the pews that are here and the carpet and all the labor that went into putting these things together from people that are not even here now, that God brought here for a season to do the work that needed to be done. And we're sitting here and we can't get excited over these things. And I'm sitting here asking myself again, if the law came in and wanted to prove that you were a Christian, is there enough evidence to show that when you hear the things of God, that you look at it, that you're going to worship Him, you're going to acknowledge Him? My heart is grieved because I have forgotten the things I needed to remember. I have forgotten those things and what they actually meant to me as I saw these things happening, because I love you guys. And so as I saw this, and then I got to realizing some things. When I was a little boy, my mom wasn't living for God. And I don't know what the circumstances was, but they were in a motel at a swimming pool with some other people, and they were drinking and having a party. I was about 5 years old. There were some other little kids there, and we were playing in the pool in the dark alone. It was after hours for people to be in the pool. I don't know if they knew somebody there or we snuck in. I don't have a clue. Being competitive, these other kids, they were walking along the side. And I'm like, I can walk out just as far as you can. I was in the middle. I didn't know that there was a ledge on the side. All I knew was that I was on an incline going down. All of a sudden, I took a step. One too many. It was all I could do to push up and break through the surface of the water. And I tried to scream for help. And I understand now why people can't do that, because I was strangled on the water that was there. No sound would come out. But I didn't give up. I knew that if I didn't come up out of that water, I was going to die. Didn't actually understand what death was, but I knew I didn't want to find out. So I'm jumping as hard as I can to try to break the surface. And every time I did this, I was going deeper and deeper down that incline. The time that I come to the end of my rope, and I'm like, this is the last time. I barely broke the surface last time. I'm going to try one more time. I'm not going to give up. And as I jumped, all of a sudden I felt hands grab me around my sides and lift me out of that water. And as God brought that back to my memory, I realized that the same thing happened to me. I was stuck in the muck and the mire of sin. I was on a dead-end track to hell, and I didn't realize where I was. And I was going down for that last time. And God came and He grabbed me and He pulled me up out of that water, or out of that sin, that mire that I was in. He wanted me to understand that He had the power to help me. And God knew that I was going to have a purpose later on. And He spared me at that time in my life. And I could share so many other things that God has done. But I have a couple other things that I want to share with you. When my grandfather, I've shared many times before with all of you here, much of my family was in the Assembly of God Church. Some of them were even there when they had the meeting where the Assembly of God Church was formed and the UPC Church was formed in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Unfortunately, my side of the family chose to go with the false doctrine. My grandparents weren't living for God. My grandfather actually had a calling in his life to preach, but my grandmother decided that didn't pay enough money, and so she wouldn't let him follow after. And she told me this years later. But my grandfather's on a job. He works on a tank farm selling propane. He's there by himself, and he has a massive stroke. It's only in his 50s. No business came in. Nobody came out there. So he tries to get to the phone on his own. He had another stroke. The doctor said that they could see where he had three strokes before he got help. Most times when you talk about people with strokes, three is the magic number you don't recover from. My mother called a preacher in Arkansas that we knew. He came to the hospital. They were living here in Tennessee. He beat them there. My grandfather was in such bad shape, they rolled him to one side of a room in intensive care and left him there. Left him there. This Pentecostal preacher, he's walking around this bed. He's walking around, and he's praying. God, You know Sister Lively. You know she wants her dad to be saved. Father, You see the work she's done for Your kingdom. You see how she's been faithful. Lord, she's Your daughter. Father, in Your name, Jesus, heal this man. Give him a season to get his soul right. But you know what? He wasn't praying looking down. He wasn't praying with his eyes closed. He was looking as he was walking around. And all of a sudden, he said, hey, he moved. And when he moved again, the nurses all came in and started hooking him up to machines and everything to monitor him. They had left him over there to die. They didn't see any hope. My grandfather, who had three massive strokes, never lost his mind. He could say the alphabet backwards faster than I could say it frontwards. But that's not the true miracle of this. What happened later on was that he gained just about everything back, except he was paralyzed one arm and one leg. Not a great big thing when you think you could have lost your grandfather. One night, he calls my mom. He says, Bobby, I want the Holy Ghost. I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Woo! We called this little church up here in Arkansas, and we told them what was going on. We went to get my grandfather, and we went to this church. It wasn't even their church service night. We walk in the door, there's 40 people in that place if there's one. And they've already been praising and worshiping God. They were anticipating something to happen. They had that faith to put things in action. They weren't there just to sit on a pew and listen to someone speak. They came because they knew God was going to do something. And they had a spirit of expectation in their life. But so what happened? My grandfather, he's on this crutches. He can barely get on this one side. Someone had to help him. But he had these crutches. He goes in. They have a complete service. They have a worship service. My grandfather's over trying to clap with the one hand against the other hand. And he's sitting there and he's patting the pew. That's all he can do. Patting that one foot. They get ready to baptize him in Jesus' name. They have to help him in the baptistry. God wasn't through. He went down in that water. He came out speaking in another tongue as God gave the utterance. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And God still wasn't through. When he came out of that baptistry, he grabbed those crutches and he ran around that church building holding them over his head. This man had had three massive strokes. They didn't think he was going to live. God said, I've given him a season to make things right. And if we get real before God, guess what? He's going to give some people in the city of Nolensville a season to get right. And not just that, but for each of us, he's going to give us a season to make right. But if we don't take advantage of it, guess what? It's your fault. If God says, I'm going to do something for you, and this is your season, I'm going to do great things in your life, I'm going to save your family, I'm going to give you a new way to walk, a new way to talk, there's going to be power in your life, I'm going to make you a winner, you're going to go out and you're going to walk, and people are going to see something different in your life, people are going to be drawn to you, you're going to be able to win souls to Jesus.
Come on.
But no, we can decide, we got free will. We can decide to just sit here. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to see through a glass darkly. I want to know the full vision of what's on that other side that I'm missing. I want to go and hear my Jesus, who died on that cross, to me say, well, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful over the little things. I'm going to make you ruler over the big things. Come and take your reward. Woo! I don't know about you, but I get excited thinking about that there's something on the other side besides what's here. There's something there that is eternal, something that has power. And when I face up to that devil, I can look him right in the eye. You know why? Because God said, I'm an overcomer by the word of my testimony and the blood of the Lamb.
That's right.
I can look at him and I can say, devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and I know he has to flee. As long as I do the little things and I have myself in position and I walk right and I consecrate my life and I do those things, I'm going to be right up underneath the spout where the blessings come out. Right up underneath the spout where I can be full of the Holy Ghost all the time.
Come on.
Where I have that relationship with God, and I can go up and I can say to the man laying at the gate, I ain't got no money, but let me tell you what I do got inside of me.
Yes.
Rise in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. Because I have this inside of me.
Right.
It's not something I got to go get. It's not something I got to go seek after.
Yes.
God said greater works than what he did we're going to do. But it's up to us to say, yes, I want to do these things.
Yes.
You may say, I don't have a calling in my life. I don't have anything I can do. The Bible lets us know that we need to covet the good gifts.
Yes.
Covet after. Have a passion for the things of God. Not just be willing to sit here, because when you have that passion, you take one step, God's going to take two. He's not going to leave you standing. He's walking right beside you. You're going along, and you think, man, I ain't got much power in myself. But woo, look who I'm with. Me and Jesus, we're the majority here. We don't have to bow down to nobody. We don't have to look at the floor. We're not second best because we dress different than everybody else. We're not second best because we speak in tongues. We're not second best because our doctrine is not the same as everybody else's. My God told me to be a separate people, not to be like everybody else,
right.
Not to love the things of the world, but to love the things that he has for me. And with all my heart, I seek to be that pleasing to my God. I don't want to be one of those that keeps falling over and over again. Then I sit there and try to make excuses as to why I can't consecrate and live for God. And then I look around and why? I crucify him all over again. Crucify him all over again. Every time I sin. Every time I sin. And you think about the gruesome crucifixion that was there. And I know I'm running long. Please forgive me. But I want you to realize something this day. God is wanting all of us to realize that it's the little things we got to be faithful over. The little things to complete the work that has to be done. Being faithful. Being loyal. Pray. Fast. Pray. Fast. Pray. Fast. Seek after the Holy Ghost. Seek after the Holy Ghost. Listen to the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Support your pastor. Support the ministry. Go along and support the music teams. You can do that in prayer. There used to be a song that says, on my knees, I'm taller than trees. When we realize that there's power, that God said we have anything in his name. In faith, believing, activating that faith, it shall be done. Not it could be done, it shall be done. Greater works than he did, he wants us to be able to do.
Wow, what a message. At the beginning, I read that God gave Wild Bill a fantastic message, but Wild Bill said he didn't feel like he did a very good job in presenting it. Well, I think he did excellent. What do you think about Blog Talk Mom?
Well, I tell you, if I could put into words what I'm feeling, I have never been... I just can't put into words what I'm feeling. It was wonderful. It was not only wonderful because it was Wild Bill and because you and Joy Bell, but this is wonderful because it was what I needed for myself. The anointing that came through his words and the scriptures and the illustrations were just more encouraging than anything I've ever heard. And I just praise God. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Almighty God. I just praise God. I just cannot put into words. I want to remember when he was telling about the time that we were drinking at that outside, and we wasn't even paying any attention to the children. And he was going down. He could not work. He couldn't fight it any longer. And one of the ladies there had been a lifeguard. And she just went straight out over the water and grabbed him. And I just praise God. So many things we forget that God has done through the years. So many things with the children, with Joy, we have been so blessed. He is such a mighty God. And, I just thank you. I cannot thank you and God, and I'm just so grateful. This is a life-changing moment for me, this entire program. I just praise God. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, God. You are real. And Daddy told me that when he was laying there, nobody was caring about him. And Dr. Shield came in, Brother Shield, pastor, and he was just sort of walking around Daddy, and he'd look up and like he was just sort of tossing a prayer. And as he went past Daddy's head at the top, all of a sudden Daddy felt his tongue just unloose. It had been so bound with the stroke. And I just, oh, hallelujah. And Daddy was so magnificently filled with the Spirit of God, and so many things there that God redeemed through that were just so, you know, in all of our lives, Sister Stoller, there's heartbreak and misunderstanding. And when we turn to the Creator of the world, He can and desires to redeem those things. I know I'm emotional, but I feel the presence of Almighty God. And I praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I don't ever want to forget what He's done. In our prayer meeting this morning, we have a ladies' prayer meeting, and we joined just a few of us, and we were praying for our families and for those that we love and for God to move. And someone had done some carpentry there, and there was about 5 horrible-looking nails laying there. It wasn't planned or anything, but we looked at those nails. You know, when we go before the throne and we ask God to move in a situation, He's already built the foundation for that prayer to be answered. We don't have to twist His arm and beg and plead. We have to believe and love Him and receive from Him. That's His desire. That's God. That's our loving Savior. Oh, praise God for this night. I just thank you, Sister Starla. I hope someone else might want to call and make a comment.
Well, if anybody would like to make a comment or have a question, that's the time. You raised an awesome preacher. He is just, I love to hear that man preach.
the anointing was just moved in, and it was so powerful because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. I love good teaching. I love good preaching, and I know that the anointing doesn't always have to be an emotional, it can manifest itself in many ways. But this was life-changing and just awesome. Awesome. When the anointing is moving through a minister, then God is pulling memories and pulling, you know, there's that witness of the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost in you is supernatural, so it's very difficult for me to put in words. But it heals, it sets free, it delivers, it connects the dots. You know, we just go from season to season in our life and from faith to faith. And then God brings a service, a particular service or message, and it's just wonderful tonight. I have nothing to compare to this message and what it has done in my heart, specifically this day. As Wild Bill was teaching about, we are in a warfare. We are. I mean, he said we were, you know, all the way through. Paul repeatedly, Peter, James, John, we are in a warfare. The whole armor of God, you know, they refer to the different stances that we've done all to stand. And, I just realized as while Bill was bringing the message across that what I was in today was warfare, and not to allow it. You know, we don't have to allow things to get the best of us. We do not, because God is greater and he's on our side, and we are victorious in him. And I want a recording. I guess I can go back to the archives. This was wonderful. It made me want to pack all my clothes and move. I was looking at myself. I don't know how it is, but oh, that was wonderful. But don't get scared. I can't do it. So
no, I'm not scared. We have an empty room.
I was thinking
that. Waiting for you.
I know. That's sweet of you, but I think my moving days the next time is going to be to, I've got a home in Glory Land. I was thinking of Joy Bell would sing, used to sing Sign Me Up, and I don't think she really appreciates that song that much, but while he was preaching, and then I remember her singing that, and I thought, you know, Lord, sign me up for all this. I'm hearing it, you know. Sign me up for faith. Sign me up for defeating the enemy and for overcoming his spiritual warfare. And just, I don't know. It was really good. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, we have Bill.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the kind words. It was, if you ever want someone to make you feel good about something, just throw it out in front of mom. She's, you know, with mom, she can't hardly ever seem to do wrong. But it's, the thing that really hit me on this whole thing off and on for a couple of weeks was the fact that it's our choice where we stand in this warfare. It's our choice to engage. It's our choice to realize that it's there, that we were warned, you know, that these things were going to come against us, and not to be surprised, you know, not to act like, oh, man, I'm in a war. You know, it's all laid out for us to realize. What I thought Mom was saying, he's provided us the full armor, and he's given us everything that we need, not just to endure, but to overcome, to be a winner, to be victorious. And there was so many thoughts that I know I didn't bring to completion as God presented them to me, and it's, you know, and it troubles you when you present something like that to realize that, you know, you go back later and you're like, oh, man, I never finished this thought here. And, you know, it's going to take God to come in and bless us for this to really speak what was intended. And then the only thing that gives you confidence is where you can walk into a church and there could be 100 people there and every one of them get a different thought out of it where they're blessed. And you're like, man, do they hear the same sermon I heard? Because this is what I got out of it. But
right.
You know that God can take his word and he can mold it to fit the needs of each individual that's there, you know, for those that will. It's strictly those for whosoever will. And that just hit me so hard of all the things where I've struggled through my life. And I realized that it was where I had moved out of position, that I had left God somewhere along the way and was still doing the exact same motion. Doing all the things that I had done at the steps that I was walking with God, just without him. And then I'm like, you know, Lord, why did you let this happen? And it's just, I don't know. It's just, this has been, like I said at the beginning of this, what I was sharing with Paula, that the message for me just spoke volumes to my heart. I just know that I didn't give it the justice, you know, that it deserves. But I just pray that God blesses us and it does the work anyway. And but there again, I do thank you for the kind words that you had to share. And I don't want to forget the things that God's already done when I'm like, you know, well, Lord, what have you done for me lately? Not look back and see where he's already moved in such mighty ways. You know, the whole thing how it played out when Dad passed away. You know, you think, man, I wish it could have happened different. But to do that would have changed the way things were. And to see how God answered his prayer, all the things that could have happened that Dad didn't want to happen, and the importance of being with family. He wasn't alone, and all the people that were there. And just, I don't know. It just, God is just such an awesome God. And if you can't praise him for his marvelous acts and his marvelous work and his marvelous promises, what's it going to take for people to praise God? What's it going to take for us to feel an accountability when you look at the price that he paid? Because he was a winner, he paid the price for me to be able to be a winner just by association with him, but just by saying yes and saying, I will do those things you told me to do. I will take up my cross. I will follow. But it's the devil is selling us a bill of goods, and it's crept into the church. It's not just in the world. Of course, we all know that those that he's already got, he's not going to, you know, fight with near as hard as those that, you know, he's seeking to destroy and lie and steal the things that God has for us. But with all that being said, I do want to thank you, Blog Talk Mom, for giving me a love for God's word and taking time to teach me and being the example that you've been. I can't tell you what that's meant to my life.
Well, I appreciate, I'll tell you what, it came back pressed down, shaken together, and running over tonight. It was, and your illustration that you had about the, you know, when you were playing football and how, you know, all of a sudden you're blindsided and you're, and today it just right in the middle of the day going seemingly just great. I was making touchdowns all over the place, intercepting passes and whatever, and then wham! I mean, I got slammed, and I thought, where, what? And then when you were preaching, it's spiritual warfare, duh, you know. Yeah, I was, you know, we're not just out there, it is a warfare, and we have to remind ourselves that we are winners. You know, where I work now, they have a television, and they watch a game, Wheel Fortune, I think is the name of it. And when I think they answer something and they make $1 million, bunch of money, and they win a trip and then they spin it and all of a sudden they hit bankrupt. It's all over. They lost it all. And I thought, wow, if that's not a picture of what the devil's got in store for the world. He may give you all kinds of stuff, but you are going to, I mean, you know, but there's three of them. One of them might make it. I don't know the deal on that. But I do know that with God, will never be bankrupt. I mean, the bank is full, and we can draw in faith. And, oh, I just, this has been wonderful. You'll never, only God knows how much I needed your message tonight. Thank you.
Everybody got quiet. I guess there's nobody else, Starla. I guess you can go ahead and close this out.
Okay, Doug. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening, and we pray that you were mightily blessed with this message tonight. And we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.